Welcome to the Compass Podcast, featuring Chris Chandro and the Compass team. We hope this message is just for you.
Well, hey, Compass, how you doing? Oh, my goodness. So the last 2 weeks, I have been serving in our kids' ministry. And by the way, that is awesome. Here at Compass, we believe that our kids are not just the church leaders of tomorrow, but they are the church of today. We believe and we know that God wants to speak to our kids, and he wants to be known by our kids. And so 2 weeks ago, I got to bring the message in the elementary school class, and that was fun. And I still got it. I just want to let you know if you were worried. And last week, I got to be in the nursery. And have you guys met little Kellen? Oh my gosh, he's the sweetest little baby boy. And he slept on me for like the last half of service. And I got cuddles. And it was amazing and wonderful. And today I'm up here. And as I'm here, I've noticed there's no diapers, there's no wipes. And nobody's hopefully is going to need a diaper change today. So I win. Yay! Okay, so if I have not had the opportunity to meet you yet, if it's your first, one of your first visits here at Compass, my name's Terry. I'm married to Chris, and it is our delight and privilege to pastor here at Compass. I know that we are biased, but it is our favorite church in town. So anyway, we're going to continue on with our guardrail series. And when Chris told me that we were going to do this series, I was very excited because I think the content throughout this whole series is really, really good. And so I'm going to do my best to present it in a way that is engaging for you because I think it is really, really top-notch stuff. So question, the first question I'm going to ask you might be a little uncomfortable. And it is there anybody in your life that you've met and then later on you're like, wow, I wish I'd never met that person? Nervous laughter? No pointing fingers, that would be really inappropriate right now. Or maybe this is an easier question to answer. Is there somebody that your child, if you're a parent, there's somebody that your kid has met and you're like, oh my gosh, I wish my kid never met that kid, right? Or maybe someone, you know, I wish my spouse had never met that person. Here's the thing. So many times when you look back and you look over and you discover what your greatest regrets in life are, many times they are associated with somebody that you've met. So your biggest regret is tied to somebody that you have met. Okay, so here's the thing. We don't usually make our bad choices, our ethically bad decisions, by ourselves. It's usually made with a friend, someone, not somebody that you have your guard up with, right? It's somebody you're doing life with, someone that you've let your guard down with. Those are the people that you make bad decisions with. So as a review, this guardrail series is called guardrails because when you look at the interstate and you look at the highways and we have the guardrails set up, those are set up to protect us and to direct us, right? And guardrails, they're not set up in the danger zone. They're not at the point of no return, right? They're still in the safety zone. And so we're talking about having guardrails, having kind of some rules that you're going to personally follow to help you financially, relationally, morally, and professionally are a good idea. Now, I got to tell you that I am living proof that guardrails are a fantastic idea, that they work. I was doing the math this morning. I was like, oh my gosh, how long ago was that? It was like 18 years ago. And Chris, well, he was in a band and he would, travel around and I, stayed at home and worked. And we had come home for Christmas. It was winter. We had done Christmas and then the record label had booked studio time in a big fancy studio, and so he needed to get to Nashville to be there to record, and I needed to get back to our apartment that we had just kind of thrown our stuff in and then come home for Christmas, and I needed to get back to our apartment to set up and, make it livable. And the band, all the guys lived in Kentucky, and we just didn't want to live in Kentucky, so we lived on the border of Kentucky and Indiana. I don't know why. We thought that was better. It was an armpit, if I'm being honest. I hated that. Anyway, wow, that was way more than he needed. But I needed to get back home to unpack. So he was going to drive to Nashville. I was going to drive to our apartment in Indiana. Now, wisdom would have said, go tomorrow. Because there was a horrible ice storm. It was terrible. But, you know, Chris was very excited about recording, and he wanted to get there, and the label was spending money, and so fine. So he went on, and I thought, well, if he's going to go, I'm going to go too. And I was about 30 minutes from our apartment on the interstate, and it looked clear, but the road was covered in black ice, that ice you don't see, but the whole interstate was just a sheet of ice, and I lightly tapped on my brakes, and my Ford Taurus just began to just turn, and I didn't know what to do, and I did a complete turnaround. And as I turned around, I could see in the distance coming behind me a great big semi-truck that was coming. And I literally, Carrie Underwood took the wheel, and I said, Jesus, I just screamed Jesus. I thought it was over. I really did. And I crashed, and I opened my eyes, and my car was crashed into the guardrail, which had kept me from the oncoming traffic going the other way. And because there was enough margin between the guardrail and, you know, the line where you would drive, the semi-driver was able to get around me. And so I crashed into the guardrail, I opened my eyes, and I was alive, okay? It was a beautiful thing. And do you know what? That stupid car, this is just a side note, it wouldn't break down. After I crashed it into the guardrail and it looked just a hot mess, it wouldn't break down. And so I drove that stupid thing. We had, my Uncle Bill took a Miracle Whip can, a mayonnaise jar, and we put a new light on it, and it just kind of dangled there. It was so high class, you all. And we called the car Miracle Whip after that. It was, to be young and in my 20s again. No, thank you. All right. So anyway, guardrails are a good idea. Guardrails, you know, I crashed into the guardrail. The car looked a hot mess, but I was still alive. So they're a good idea. And today I want to talk about relational guardrails. Guardrails as it pertains to the relationships we have. Now, I know that there's people that we do life with we don't really have any say about. You know, there's people you work with, acquaintances and things. But I want to talk to you today about the choices that we make and guardrails that we have when we're talking about the relationships that are our closest ones, the people that we let in for real, the people that we let have influence over our life. So to talk about this, I want to, you know, obviously the Bible has something to say about it, and I want to go to one of the writings of King Solomon in Proverbs. Now, King Solomon, he was the third king of Israel. There was Saul, and then there was David, and then David's son was Solomon. And Solomon was known as a very wise man. Some people say he's the wisest man that ever lived. God, you know, basically said to Solomon, you know, ask me for anything. And Solomon asked for wisdom. And God was like, because you've asked for wisdom, I'm going to give you wisdom, and I'm going to give you wealth. And he has blessed the socks off of King Solomon. And so, side note, when I was a kid, I would go to my grandma's house, and she had all these Bible stories, and they were, you know, beautifully illustrated, is how you would have described it. But some of the pictures were creepy and a little scary, if I'm being honest. And so Solomon, what he was known for was like the thing that it talked about with him displaying his wisdom is there was these two women, and they lived together, and both of them had babies about the same age. And in the night, one of the babies died, and the woman woke up, and she realized that her baby had passed away. So she switches babies, and then the woman wakes up, you know, and she's hysterical because, you know, she's traded babies. So these women come before King Solomon, and both of them are claiming that it's, you know, their baby. And King Solomon says, split the baby in half and give half to each woman. And as a kid, I was like, no, that's horrible. Like, it's horrifying, which it is horrifying. But then the real mother is like, no. She can have him. Don't hurt my son. And then King Solomon was like, this is the real mother. And so anyway, that's a little trivia about King Solomon and what he is known for. So we're going to look at Proverbs 13:20 for our guardrail on relationships today. Okay, here's what it says. It says, walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. Okay, walk with the wise and become wise. So isn't that beautiful? I think about this flu and all the bugs that are going around. They're very contagious. Well, guess what? Wisdom is contagious. Okay, so if you are hanging out with, if you are doing life with, if you are walking with someone who is wise, you're going to catch wisdom. Isn't that cool? Isn't that great news? Like, it's not even like you have to go to college just to hang out with somebody who's wise. So the second part of this verse, though, the contrast, you would think, if you walk with the wise, you'll become wise. So you would think, well, then if you walk with the foolish, or, you become foolish. But it's worse than that. Look at this. Look at what it says. It says, walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. One translation, the King James translation says, they are destroyed. Okay, so you don't just become foolish if you walk with someone who is not wise. You suffer harm. You will suffer harm. You will be destroyed. That's like, what? That's crazy. But here's the thing, is if you are walking with someone, and a fool sounds really bad, okay? That's what they refer to it in the Bible. It's someone who is not careful, okay? So if you're walking with someone who is not careful, and you're doing life with them, and they're making bad decision after bad decision after bad decision, and they blow their life up, guess what? Guess who catches the shrapnel? You do. Just because you're right there, because of your proximity to the person who is not careful. Now, I know that you might think, Terry, you're walking a fine line here, and this can come across as you're being judgmental. These are people, my friends, and you're just being really judgmental. And here's the thing. This is not talking about being a judge. This is not about being judgmental. When you're being judgmental, this is about my opinion of you and what I think you should change. This is about using good judgment, okay? This is all about me. So basically, when I'm coming into making a decision about who I'm going to have a relationship with, who I'm going to let into my inner circle, who I'm going to do life with, here's how you make good judgment. You're going to ask these questions, and we've talked about this before. Based on my past circumstances, based on my past, based on my current circumstances, okay, and based on what my future hopes and dreams are, what's the best thing for me to do? That isn't about judging somebody else, right? This is all about me, all about choices for me, all about who I am going to do life with, who I am going to walk with. If you are walking with someone who is not careful, all right, they don't give any thought to the future, and they're just doing life. And so if you walk with those folks, if you walk with somebody who is not careful with their marriage, they are not going to care about your marriage. If you're walking with someone who's irresponsible with their finances, they are going to be irresponsible with yours and encourage you to be irresponsible for yours. If you're walking with people who don't care about abusing their bodies, they are not going to care if you abuse yours. Now, and honestly, if you're walking with someone and they, lie and steal and cheat, they feel better about themselves, right? If you join in and lie and steal and cheat. If you're walking with someone who doesn't care about breaking the laws, they're certainly not going to confront you about breaking the laws. So here's some things, these guardrails, this idea of, really it's about wisdom. And it's not black and white. It can be kind of squishy, right? But here's some things. I took my girls. We went on a road trip to Missouri. And usually Chris does the driving, if I'm being honest. And I will, kind of veer over to the side of the road. And you know how there's those wake-up bumps? That's what I call them. I don't know what they're called. But it's like the whole car shakes. You familiar with those? Yes? Okay, you're awake. There you are. Okay. And I've got a list here of what I think some wake-up bumps. some things that should light up your conscience, okay? So here we go. When it dawns on you that the core group of people that you're hanging out with, that they're not moving in the direction that you want your life to go, that should be a wake-up bump. Maybe an adjustment needs to be made. When you catch yourself pretending to be someone you're not, you know, you're like, you're there and your head's shaking. Yes, I think this is a good idea, sure. But inside you're going, I don't know. That should be a wake-up bump. When you feel pressure to compromise, not when you've already compromised, but maybe something that has never, ever, ever been a temptation before is now a live option that you could actually do. That should be a wake-up bump. When you catch yourself thinking, oh, guys, this is a good one. When you catch yourself thinking, you know what? I'm going to go, but I won't participate. Any parents here? Oh, my goodness. I would have probably told my mom that. If I'm being honest, okay. And like, if my kid, you know, I've got teenagers. If my son or either of my daughters said, Mom, I know, you know, they're probably, I mean, you know, yeah, there's probably going to be weed there, but I'm not going to smoke it. They're going to be doing some stuff, but I just want to go there, you know. I need to be Jesus to them and go along. I'm not going to participate. You wouldn't buy that for a hot second from your kid. And so why, as you start talking that way, do you buy it from yourself? Like, that should be a wake-up bump, right? Yes. When you start thinking, here's another one. When you start thinking that you hope the people that you care about don't know your whereabouts, that should be a wake-up bump. If you don't want Mama to know where you're at, if you don't want Pastor Chris to know where you're at, I mean, he's cool, but, you know, he preaches and stuff, so you probably wouldn't want him to know. And guys, I can tell you I have walked this out. I've ended an engagement because based on my future hopes and dreams, this isn't the right thing. When Chris and I were newly married, you know, you try to find, you've got my friends, and you got his friends, and you're trying to find who are our friends, like trying to find couple friends, right? And I wanted that so much. And there was a couple friend that we had, and we would hang out with them quite a bit. And they had the same church background as us. And they started bringing around another couple who didn't go to the same church but had church background as well. And so we all started hanging out together. And we ended up at the friends of a friend's, if that makes sense, this other couple. We ended up at their house late one night. And, you know, there was always sarcasm. But this particular night, it just, like, the husband and the wife, they got to be where they would, like, cut each other down with sarcastic remarks. And it just kind of escalated and escalated, and it was a little uncomfortable. And then they started talking about, and if I'm being honest too, like, Chris and I, as we've grown up in church, we've been like, oh, you know, I wouldn't do that song, or I think church should do it this way, because it ended up that God had put it in our hearts that we would start a church one day, but you could go down the wrong path and just become just like picking everything apart, and not in a helpful way, right? And so we were there, and they started talking about different pastors that they knew, and, you know, different, you know, famous pastors or pastors in town or pastors that we all knew of, and they just started kind of ripping them down, tearing them down. And at best, they were saying things that were so hurtful that if they were true, then this family needed an intervention and needed, that meant the guardrail had been crashed, like, and they were in serious need. If it was true, and if it wasn't true, it was just slanderous. It was awful. And I wasn't as quick to pick up on it. And Chris was like, hey, I think I'm tired. We need to go. And so we get in the car and we leave. And he says, as we're driving away, he says, Terry, we are never doing that ever again. I'm like, what? He's like, I don't like the way I feel when I'm in there. And you know what? We didn't use this terminology back then, but based on our future hopes and dreams, based on the people that we want to become, if we keep going down this road, we're going to be cutting, we're going to be sarcastic, we're going to be really, really judgmental. And I don't want to be that. So we just kind of backed away and found other things to do, other people to do life with. And I know that as we're, you know, looking through this process, and you're looking at this, and you're looking, examining the people that you're doing life with, God may be directing you to make some adjustments. He may be leading you to make some changes in the people that you have closest to you. And I believe that one of the most effective lies the enemy uses on us is that, well, at least this person is here and I'm not alone. And so, you know, maybe I could find better, but maybe I couldn't. And I don't want to be alone. But wisdom, like if you are hanging around and you are doing life with someone who is not careful, you will suffer harm. If you have a child with someone, young people, junior high and high school students, hear me. If you do life with someone and you end up having a child with someone who is foolish, you will suffer harm. Your child now is linked to someone who is foolish, and they will suffer harm. This is a generational decision that you're making by who you let close. This affects your great-grandchildren. Walk with the wise. Walk with the wise. If I got on my hands and knees and I would beg if I thought it would make a difference, walk with the wise. Now, I know it's easy to say, well, just do the right thing. But here's a promise for you. For those of you who are like, wow, if I make this change, I am going to be alone and alone, and I'm afraid of alone. Let me give you this promise. Psalm 68:6. This is what it says. And like, you should put this on your mirror. It says, God places the lonely in families. Yes, I pray that over our church. God, would you take the lonely and would you place them in families here? As you step out in wisdom, as you make changes relationally, and you follow the wisdom that God is placing before you, God places the lonely in families. And look at this. He sets the prisoner free and gives them joy. Some of you, because of the crowd you're hanging with, because of the people that you're letting close to you, maybe you have habits and things that you have taken into your life that are now you're bound to. But I'm telling you, as you step out and you remove yourself from some relationships that are not good for you, God will place you in a family and he will set you free. You need to believe that verse. You need to hang on to that verse for dear, dear life. And last, as I've been reading this, and I know that we have a lot of folks here at Compass, and you're like, well, you know, I'm not really, there's nobody that I'm with that's terribly unwise or whatever. But I want to ask this question, and I've been asking it of myself. God's been challenging me. Walk with the wise and you'll become wise. Lord, am I worth walking with? Do I do what's wise? You know, so many times we know what the wise thing to do is, right? In James, it says that if you ask, If you don't have wisdom and you ask our generous God for it, he will give you wisdom. The big question is, do we have the courage, when we know what wisdom is to make that decision day after day after day? Follower of Jesus, do you have the courage to not just get lazy and lay back and be like, yeah, whatever, and slip into complacency? Slip into a little gossip here and there, little critical spirit here and there. But do we have the courage to pursue God with everything that we have and all that we are, and to walk in his wisdom and to be worthy of walking with? Would you stand to your feet with me, please? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I love you so much, and I thank you for your word. And God, I pray, Lord, that you would just work, just plant this seed into our heart, God. Lord, that you would help us to pursue you with all that we are and all that we have. And God, that you would help us to have the courage to walk in wisdom, to be worthy of doing life with. Lord, that we would be life to those around us because we walk with you and we follow after you. God, I pray for those today who you are leading ever so gently to make some adjustments and to make some changes. God, I pray, God, that they would just have resolve, Lord, in their decision. God, that you would guide and that you would direct every step. Lord, for those who are here who feel like they are alone, who feel like if the only choice they have is a bad choice, that that's just what they're going to make. God, I pray that you'd give them the courage to step out of it. And Lord, that you would place the lonely in families here in our church. Lord, we love you. We want to walk in your wisdom. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for how you love us. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us at Compass. We hope you enjoyed this podcast. If you have any questions about Compass or this message, contact us at our website, www.compassbn.com.